Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Mike Ryan of Process Labs knows rotary kilns and recosticizing. Located in Chillicothe, Ohio, USA, Process Labs has decades of experience and their services are in demand around the world. You can find them online at www.processlaboratories.com or call them at 1-740-775-5520. That's 1-740-775-5520.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of January 6, 2014. The title is Vetting Headhunters. Pity the poor headhunters. The level of respect shown headhunters is about a notch above us sleazy consultants. Yes, that's redundant, I know. Of course, they prefer to be called, quotes, talent search specialist, end quotes, or some such thing, but we all know them as headhunters. There is a danger in viewing a profession such as headhunting in a derisive way. Let me explain. All else being equal, the most important difference between successful companies and unsuccessful ones are the company's peoples. Culture is important too, but excellent people can overcome lousy cultures. I have seen it happen. So who stands between your company and excellent people? That is, who stands between your company and prospective employees? That would be the headhunter. Like it or not, in the modern industrial world, the headhunter is oftentimes the gatekeeper. You are relying on the headhunter to introduce you to the kinds of people necessary to take your company to the next level. And more often than not, you are dismissive of this person and their expertise. The best and most successful relationships I've seen with companies is when a company spends as much time interviewing headhunters as they do job candidates. Vet the headhunter and then stick with them. How do you vet a headhunter? If you do not have one you use regularly, start with the next one that calls on you. Listen hard. Have they done their homework? Do they know your processes, products, and markets? Do they have any insight into challenges your company and specifically your location face? Do you find yourself overly explaining your business to them? This is a bad sign. They should be prepared to volunteer to you what they perceive to be the needs of your business. Don't take this as an affront. If they are good, they will know many, many things about your facility before they ever call on you. In this day of the internet, your facility is more of an open book than you can imagine. It is quite easy to find out what is going on with your business and your facility without breaking any laws. If they make it through these first steps, ask them about their track record. How many candidates have they placed in facilities such as yours? How long have they stayed? Have they been promoted? Can you talk to some of them about their experience during and after being placed by this headhunter? You should be able to talk to some of these as long as you stick to the subject of the performance of this headhunter. Then ask this headhunter the toughest question of all. It goes like this. Both you and another of the headhunter's clients are looking for someone for nearly the same position. The candidate field is limited. How is this headhunter going to assure you they will send you the very best candidates from a limited field? If they can successfully run the gauntlet I just described, you have someone you can work with. Now, there are two kinds of headhunters, retained and contingent. Retained are most often used for higher level positions, but not always. Retained headhunters are paid a fee up front and are expected but not contractually required to perform. If they don't perform, of course, they will soon be out of a business. The contingent headhunters are paid if they place someone, so their game is to throw as many resumes in front of you as possible, no matter if you have a relationship with them or not. They want to collect commission, so they shotgun the industry with every resume that crosses their desk. This is neither a service to the candidates or the prospective employer. You can stop this practice if you follow the concepts I've stated above. Your HR department can refuse to accept any resumes from contingent headhunters with a form response email that tells them you already have a relationship with another headhunter and their resume submittals are being returned unopened. Keeps you from any hint of paying a commission to such characters should through dumb luck they run across a marginally good candidate. And you don't want a marginally good candidate anyway. You want several great candidates from which to choose. Remember, great people make great companies, and like it or not, headhunters often stand between you and great people. Set high expectations and build a long-term relationship with a headhunter that is looking out for you. Do you have any other experiences with headhunters you wish to share? just add them in the comment area below the column on the website. Also, you may like to take our quiz, which is found there as well. For safety this week, an area where I have seen less than stellar selection of candidates is in the area of the facility's safety officer. A dynamic safety manager can save you vast sums in insurance rates and accident claims. The next time you are searching for a safety professional, treat the search with respect and accept nothing but a high-performance candidate. Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2014 Papri Talo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Bright Technologies is the leader in high-density extruders for your wet waste problems. Located in Hopkins, Michigan, USA, Bright has a solution to dewater your sludge. With hundreds of installations worldwide, Bright's extruders have a track record of proven performance and are backed by the best warranty in the industry. You can find them online at sebrightproducts.com. That's sebrightproducts.com. Or give them a call today at 269-793-7183. That's 269-793-7183.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 13th of January, 2014. The title is Flying Packages. As readers know, I've been talking about RPAs, or remotely powered aircraft, otherwise known as drones, for a very long time. I even predicted several years ago that these would be used for package delivery, much like the announcement from Amazon that caused all the buzz before Christmas. More thinking about this subject has led me to an idea for a different design that will be more efficient and accomplish the same objectives. First, the problem with the current Amazon concept. The RPA has the same problem as returnable packaging. The bulk of the delivery, the RPA itself, must return to home base. In the meantime, the receiver could steal it or weather conditions could change during delivery, not allowing it to return promptly. What if it did not have to return? What if the package itself had drone-like capabilities just enough to deliver itself? We are talking gliders now. Think of the maple tree seed that whirligigs itself into the ground. So what if you box makers made a box with adjustable airfoil surfaces that reduced the speed of fall, provided a bit of gliding, and accurately delivered the package to its destination? What if Amazon or FedEx or UPS, instead of sending a plane to your town which must be unloaded and sorted and delivered by surface vehicle, just came over, opened a cargo door, and dispersed packages over your fair city at an altitude of 10,000 feet? Then each package, equipped with appropriate sensors, actuators, and controls, accurately glides to its final destination. Upon the receipt, the recipient peels the tiny, flat control and GPS module off the package and throws it in the mailbox, whereupon it returns to its origination point. Then you get a dollar credit for its safe return. The airfoils do not have to be sophisticated nor look anything like an airplane wing. We are talking flaps that slow speed and change direction. And if the design is clever enough, the actuators just might be rubber bands. The mothership is going to be much better at taking the packages to altitude to be delivered. In fact, it is already at altitude now. That energy has been expended when FedEx or the UPS plane heads to your local airport. We just harness that potential energy of the packages coming down from the sky in a different way. This is nothing but a bit of sophistication on some old ideas. In the passenger train era, for instance, there were grab stanchions beside the tracks which caught mail sacks and delivered mail sacks to speeding railroad postal cars at full train speed. Governments have used planes and balloons to deliver broadcast printed messages to entire districts of countries. All this idea needs is the ability to deliver relatively heavy packages, relative when compared to leaflets, to specific targets. All the technology exists right now to make this happen. The only issue is, will it be developed by a progressively thinking packaging company or by the delivery industry itself? The potential for big profits lie with the developer. Here is a chance for a paper industry-centric company to become a real leader in high-tech ideas that will be recognized by the general population. How about it? I tried to think of a quiz question to ask you about this, but it came up short. Just add your comments to the bottom of the page. For safety this week, the obvious connection is things falling out of the sky, which brings up hard hats. What is your facility's hard hat policy? Does it need to be expanded? Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2014 Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Fulton Systems is North America's leader in terms of thermocompressor and steam systems installations. Our references in the paper industry includes over 80 years of support, thousands of operating thermocompressors, and hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Additionally, we provide dryer section performance audits, steam and condensate system design, and consulting services. Give us a call at 770-447-1400 or visit our website at www.fultonsystems.com.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 20th of January, 2014. An industry not lacking in surprises. Back when I was a college student in Cincinnati, Ohio, in the late 1960s, early 1970s, there was a joke about a street that wound its way down from the north end of town almost to the Ohio River. That street was and is Spring Grove Avenue. The joke was this: whatever industrial item you needed, it could be found on Spring Grove Avenue. For instance, springs, Spring Grove springs. Valves, Spring Grove valves. You get the idea. One warehouse on Spring Grove Avenue had a different name, Southfield Paper. A bunch of us were driving by Southfield one day when a student remarked, "Who would want to work in a dull old industry like paper?" By the way, Southfield has a product line called, you guessed it, Spring Grove. Now, having spent the last 40 years in pulp and paper, I'll be the first to tell you the pulp and paper industry has been a surprise a minute. The most recent surprise has been the announcement that Verso is planning to acquire NewPage and what it has done to the PM40. We report on the PM40 every Monday morning on Pulp and Paper Radio International. You can hear the programs at pnpri.com. Here is a transcript of the report from Monday, 13th of January, 2014. Quote, this week, the PM40 rode the coattails of Verso's spectacular rise to reach new heights. The PM40 closed the week on Friday, January 10th, up 15% to $34.90, a new record by a whopping 400 points. Over the trading week, gaining shares outpaced decliners by a 3-2 margin. The RIDEX Equal Weight S&P 500 Exchange Traded Fund rose 1%. Among PM40 shares, the week's biggest winner was Verso, up 539% on news of its purchase of NewPage Holdings for $1.4 billion. The biggest loser was Schweitzer Maudy International, down 8%. Verso is now the top performer over the last year, up 281%. The deepest decliner of the last 52 weeks has been Rayonier, down 22%. The RIDEX S&P tracker is up 29%, while the PM40 has gained 49% over the last year, end quote. Now, Verso has been talking about buying NewPage for a long time, so long that some of us have stopped paying attention to the idea. After all, Verso seemed to be having enough problems just trying to keep their listing on the New York Stock Exchange. And as I said to some of our employees, there was still a long way from an announcement to a financial closing. Yes, it was exciting. I wonder if Dave Patterson, CEO of Verso, remembers that I bought him his first golf lesson. Does anybody care? For our quiz this week, tell us about your exciting moments in our great industry. You can take it online. For safety this week, please remember safety is about not having excitement. For safety incidents are always exciting in a bad sort of way. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2014 Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
RMR Mechanical is a merit shop contractor whose principals have over 100 years combined experience. Licensed in 19 states, RMR Mechanical works with process industries and utilities with special expertise in boiler maintenance and repair. Simply put, RMR Mechanical provides the best value to ensure your money is effectively spent. We perform as planned. For more information, call 770-205-9646 or visit www.rmrmechanical.com. We look forward to helping you succeed.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 27th of January, 2014. The title is Energy, Environment, and Human History. The dialogue concerning energy, environment, and humans will never go away. In fact, this dialogue has existed as long as there have been humans. One has to only consider a couple of conditions to see why this is so. Consider that we are the only species that wishes to heat our food and beverages. We are also the only species not adequately protected by thick skin, feathers, down, hair, or wool necessary to live in many areas on this planet. We are the only species not prepared to quickly travel the distances our mind can conceive we may travel without the aid of some other animal or device. We are the only species that consumes beverages requiring processing, think beer, distilled spirits, and so forth. We are also the only species that has created a strong hierarchical order amongst our society. All of these activities require energy. Energy consumption leads to extractive activities and combustion activities. However, it has only been in the last 250 years that we have figured out ways to consume energy for our pleasure on a massive scale. And it is energy for our pleasure. We could all live around the equator, sheltering ourselves in caves as necessary, eating raw fish. Well, maybe not all of us. There are too many of us now. We would run out of room in the zones where we could live without clothes. Taking my thesis a bit further, even slavery is an energy issue. Had the colonists landed in the New World dragging modern agriculture machinery with them, there would have been no need for slaves in the United States. The population of North America might look very different today had the Western Hemisphere been discovered 500 years later. So we come to our modern energy and environmental issues, ones we have discussed in this column many times before. It is your author's opinion that these issues will never be solved with a finality agreed by all sides. For as long as we want clothes, warm food, and a little beer to wash it down, we will have energy problems followed close behind by our environmental issues. And we might as well mention our beloved pulp and paper industry. I have neglected it up to this point. Pulp and paper products, particularly sanitary and feminine hygiene products, have long been established as first luxury goods desired by society coming out of the caves, from under the rocks, and so forth. So yes, modern society demands pulp and paper products, products that consume energy in their manufacture and have an environmental impact. I have had a long setup in this column to get to a very simple point. That point is this: energy consumption and environmental effects are here to stay as long as there are humans. So the next time a rabid environmentalist gets in your face and talks about you as a paper industry professional destroying the earth, tell him you'll be happy to follow their example as soon as they strip to their birthday suit, move to the Amazon, and adopt a diet of raw fish. I would also caution them to be very careful when they wipe their behinds. Some of those innocent-looking leaves can leave a terrible rash. How do you handle rabid environmentalists? You can take our quiz online this week to tell us. For safety this week, it is obvious that human activity can result in dangerous conditions. Beware of the dangerous conditions at your mill. Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2014 Papri Tallow Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.